Father, we just come and exalt you this morning and come and acknowledge you as the supreme power in our lives and the supreme authority. And how holy are you? And we can just shout out glory, glory, glory to our King. And we're just so humbled by your presence this morning and just value your sweet fragrance in this place this morning. How privileged are we to know the King of Kings. And how amazing are you to leave your throne and meet with us. We just revere you this morning once again and acknowledge that we are here for you, Father. You truly are the King of Kings and you're the Saver of souls. And just thank you for an opening of hearts this morning. And just worship you, Jesus. What a good King you are. What a loving Father you are. What a great Savior. What an amazing, amazing individual. There are no words to describe you. We just give you everything we have right now. Our hurts, our excitements, our passions, our thoughts, our hearts, our emotions, our pains, our hurts, our desires. Just take a moment and just enjoy what God's doing. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you into this place. Welcome into our hearts. Just honor you for meeting us again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, band. Guys, rock. Isn't it amazing, the talent in God's house? Eh? Awesome. What a privilege for us to be in God's house and just worship Him freely and just express our love towards Him and just tell Him how amazing He is. And such a privilege. I don't think something we should take for granted. We don't have to hide in underground churches. And we can just tell our Savior that He's great and we are to hear what He wants to say and do. And that's such a privilege, guys, and let's not lose sight of that. Before we get going this morning, we're going to get some feedback from our Let's Go Mission team in Lesotho. So Marty's going to give us a little feedback on that and just a testimony. We're excited to hear.
Hello, church. Okay, so I was on Lesotho Mission. It was my first mission. Malgul, and I was blessed with the greatest team to go with. So, that was very cool. Lesotho was so blessed. It started the first night, it poured, it rained so much, and it was the first rain Lesotho had in quite a while. And then door-to-door experiences, showing the Jesus film and people giving their hearts to Jesus once again or for the first time. You're having church with them. Klink ek right vir die ding? Okay. You're having church with them and just realizing that there's no time bound when you worship the Lord. And just also praying over Lesotho on one of the high mountains. Everything was so blessed, and I wrote my experience in a letter type of form, so I would want to share that with you. You open your floodgates of heaven, you let it rain, you paint majestic skies in our so-called thunderstorms, your light burns through the darkness to show us the way. On our spirits of drought, you let it rain. God said, down my heart, to keep your pouring love and pouring blessings in reserve, a supply for those in need. Door to door we knock, as you stand at our doors and knock. You promise to enter in every inviting heart. You are welcome, Lord. Eyes of the blind were opened. My eyes were opened for the power of your name. Knees of the weak were strengthened. No man can take the fame. Do I believe like a child when I swing them around? Without understanding, they are three. For you break language barriers in the language of your love. The mountains declare your glory. Lesotho is yours. I'm in awe to witness how you steal back hearts that are yours. Your face in every sunrise. Lesotho is yours. You open your floodgates of heaven. You let it rain. You let it rain on seeded soil, your harvest to be. So, it was such an amazing experience. So, thank you.
Thanks, Marty. That was awesome. Buddy, we missed out. Good. We've got two more teams going out. One is the Belita Rage with Jacobus and them. And then we've got the camp also leaving next week. So we've also got the team now that's still out. Let's go Free State. So they're coming back today. They're still going to Jakobsdal and one more other stop. So great feedback from them. Those of you that are on the email list, that are on the WhatsApp groups, God's really, really met them in a special way, met everyone along the way. They said they've been divine appointments, and they really feel like the ground's been prepared. So all of you that have been praying, thank you. You guys rock. You're awesome. God's really doing an amazing work in our province and in our country, despite what the natural is saying to us and screaming at us and the media screaming at us. God is alive and He's still moving. So on that note, we're going to get Arno just to come and pray over the teams that are leaving. He's just come back from Lesotho with the Lesotho team, so he's full of mission fire. And we're just going to pray a blessing over them and also the team in Free State that are just traveling today and for the rest of today. All right.
Good morning, church. Sharks, just to share with Mama Leaf about Lesotho. In my life, I've only been prayed for healing and stuff like before rugby games and stuff, like for my ankle and for my shoulder, and really like the Lord came through for me and healed me before games. It was really awesome. So this was the first time in my life that I could go to on an outreach and pray for other people for like healing in the, like this one guy couldn't see, which Edward prayed for, or this woman, and she started to see, which was awesome. So, I just realized that you don't need to be super spiritual or anything like that. Like, you just need to be in contentment with the Lord. So that they can work through you, and that was really awesome to see. So I'd just like now to pray for the Rage mission, and then for summer camp, as well as for the team traveling in the Free State. Lord, I just come now, Lord, and consecrate my heart to you, Lord. I reveal everything up to you, my Lord. I just want to give you everything, Lord. We're going to give you all the praise, Lord, and Lord, just come and lead us, Lord. That's where we go in missions, Lord, so that your glory and your kingdom might come, Lord. I ask of you, Lord, to be with the Belita Rage people, Lord. Some of the matrix are already there, Lord. We just lead those children, Lord. And yes, Lord, let them just realize that what they are doing now, Lord, is not according to your will, Lord, all of the time, Lord. And I just ask you, Lord, to just come and lead them, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit, Lord, just fall upon them, Lord, and just let them realize that is not the thing we should live for, Lord. Also now, I just pray, Lord, for the summer camp, Lord, and for the people going there. I ask of you, Lord, to let the facilitators, Lord, just be in awe of you, Lord. Let them just hear your voice, Lord. Let them be the light of the world, Lord. Let them show the younger people, Lord, that there's so much more to live for, Lord. I thank you, my King, Lord, that we as people can go on missions, Lord, and I ask you, Lord, to lead us on those missions, Lord. Lord, let us be just light bearers, Lord, and your vessels, Lord, and might you just lead us, Lord, let your Holy Spirit, Lord, work through us. We thank you, our King, Lord, that we can do that, Lord, and we honor you, Lord. Lord, may your kingdom, Lord, come through all of those missions, and may you please be with the team traveling in Free State now, Lord. May you be the light into their path as well, Lord. May you lead them safely home. Thank you, Jesus, and we bring all the honor and praise to you. Amen.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome to see the wild, mighty young men God's raising up in his kingdom, eh? That's great. That's awesome. Okay, good. So, this morning, a heart after the King. I oftentimes have only been married for 9 years. I've still got a long way to go. So I'm still learning a lot. But often in marriage, I get to a place where it's like, you know, we sort of just go through the motions. It becomes very mechanical and dry and stale. And not because she's not awesome, but because I'm unfortunately still human and still being transformed. So you get to a place where, you know, it's sort of just not as intimate and nice as it should be. And it gets us to a place where you start wondering, but why? And the first natural reaction always for me is, no, but she's not doing 75 different things that are on my list that she should be doing. And sadly, that's not necessarily true. What normally happens is I just get prompted by the Holy Spirit when I get over, you know, how righteous I feel and how right I am. And he says, just, you want the answer to sort of get back to intimacy? And I say, please, please, God, I'm ready now. And he says, okay, well, great. Let me lead you to the mirror. Okay, well, I'm ready. And he says, no, but it's you. Your heart has changed. You have become focused on what you want, need, desire. And it got me thinking, how do I have a heart and an attitude towards my wife? But even more so, it really challenged me to say, there's nothing greater in this world for me than when I'm intimate with God. And you guys have all had that, and that's why you are here. Those moments where God just meets you in such a special way, and I'm not there, maybe some of you are, but unfortunately that doesn't happen every day. But there is a place where, irrespective of your circumstances, irrespective of how tough it is, how good it's going, how bad it's going, that you can have this longing for and desire to be with that person. And it again prompts the question, how do I get to a place where daily, because I'm not there, I have intervals, unfortunately, I'm still a work in progress, where I'll have stretches and I'll hunger for God and I'll be desperate for Him and I want to see Him no matter what's happening in my life, good or bad. And then I'll wake up one day and it's like, gee, where did that go? It's now been a day, a week, whatever the case might be. And it's not there. It's not there, not in an emotional place, but it's just, there's just no desire to want to do it. And it really, in preparation for this morning, just how do we and what is a heart after our King? And maybe on that, if I can put you, on the spot, can you maybe make your way up here? And I'm going to ask you to just give us a medical explanation, and you hasn't had time to prepare. Give us a medical explanation of what is the primary function of the heart in the physical body. Okay, because we need to understand, first of all, what is a heart? I'm giving you time to prepare, so, okay. What is this heart that the Bible talks of? How do you have a heart towards God? What is it? It's definitely not a physical aortic pump. Huh? It's the medical term. It's not that. So what is it? So we're going to start with understanding what is this thing that is what we call in our Christian walk a heart or a contrite heart or an attitude of the heart. So maybe you can just shed a bit of light. What is the primary function of an aortic pump in the physical body?
Of the heart. All right, so the heart is a four-chambered pump. receives blood back from the body, deoxygenated blood, and then pumps oxygenated blood back to the body again, or to the lungs returns to the heart, heart pumps back to the body through the aorta. So what it does is it pretty much just circulates your body's amount of blood constantly so that you do not die or faint when you stand up, when you walk, when you do anything. So it pretty much keeps you alive. Yeah.
What happens when one of the chambers fails?
Well, it totally fails. Well, you won't die. You're probably going to cardiac arrest. Yeah, you'll have to have that replaced. But your heart has like different mechanisms that it'll do to try and, you know, react to whatever's happening to try and fix it. So it'll either dilate or it'll constrict or it'll stenose.
Cool. Thanks, you. Thanks, you. So, let's try and establish a premise from which to work from to say, what is this heart that the Bible talks about? And how can I apply something or have a heart if I don't understand what a heart is? So, let's try and create in the small space of time that we've got an understanding so that we know what it is we're working with. And let's start with what the Bible says. So the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, if you can just go to the next slide. It says in 4:23, it says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it, for out of it spring the issues of life." Now the Message translation actually says, verse 23, which we're going to come back to a couple of times. It says, above all things, guard your heart. And then it says, because it is the wellspring of life. So, trying to make this practical, and I've not heard the audible voice of God on this, and so bear with me. But where do the issues of the heart flow from? And what is the wellspring of life? Surely, it must emanate from our thoughts. Because the way we think determines the way we do. And the way we do ultimately determines our behavior. And that's why a lot of times if you're reading what the guys are saying on all these self-help books, etc., they're always challenging the mind and there's neuro-linguistic programming and all of this. But the Bible says it so very clearly. The Bible says, guard your heart, for from it flow the issues of life. Let's assume for this, and let's work from a premise that heart is the word thinking or mind. And we read again verse 21, it says, "Do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart," your mind. Keep in the midst of your mind these things that I'm saying. Your mind, which ultimately brings about everything, that is what you need to guard. If we go further and we jump to Proverbs 23, it says, there's a whole chapter that we get through, but right at the end it says, "As a man thinketh, so is he." So here it's saying, guard your heart, for from it comes life. But at the same time it's saying that thing that it comes from, as you think, so are you. So let's try and break up into what is your heart. I don't want to say assume, but let's work from the premise that your heart emanates from your thinking. Your thinking is what produces your actions, which ultimately produces your behavior, your attitude, and ultimately your emotions. Because we know that emotions follow motion. If I don't feel like going to gym, but eventually I move that way, by the time I'm finished, I feel better. So we know that emotion is not something on its own. So surely emotion can't be the thing that is this heart. But we do know that emotion comes with doing certain things. So it is a byproduct of us thinking and behaving. So, John Maxwell has a description of attitude, which I think sums this up so nicely. John Maxwell says that attitude is the cumulative sum of all your thoughts. So let's say we're looking at a long equation. Let's go back to binary code. It's from the morning waking up. Some of us students wake up a bit later than some others. So it's from that morning, thought one plus one plus one plus maybe some of you intellectual. So there's two thoughts. Me, one, 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 two. Now it's 10 o'clock. My outlook, the condition of my attitude, of my heart, is a cumulative sum of everything I've been allowing in, thinking, focusing on, pondering about, meditating about. 8 o'clock at night, same principle must apply. So your attitude of heart or condition of heart is the cumulative sum, is the premise that we're going to work from, a cumulative sum of all your thoughts. So now we get prompted to ask, but how important is my thinking then? And where does that fit into this bigger spiritual walk? And what is my responsibility? So let us say that what the heart is a way of thinking. We understand in the physical body how important it is. And we are now going to take a look at how important is it cultivating this heart? And how important is that in your spiritual walk? So once we've established what it is, let's move over a bit to, okay, so let us assume that it has a lot to do with your mental thinking. I'm not saying it's the only thing, so we can't pigeonhole it and there's no formula. But bear with me, we're going to get somewhere. Is, okay, I'm willing to go with that, so but how? Where does that leave me? What must I now do if I want to cultivate a heart towards the Father? And again, let's start off with what the scripture says. If you can just go there to that slide. So yeah, if we're looking at, that's what? Just move down. How? How do I practically apply this? So yes, there are many scriptures. There are many scriptures. I don't want to jump into your homework. But 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1 to 6, if you can just go to that slide for me, we'll get to the highlighted points now. So I've put in the whole from verse 10, and we'll come back to why the beginning is important. He says, now I pour myself and pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beg you that when I'm present, I may not be bold with the confidence by which I intend to be bold against you, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. There are two things I want to bring out here, and that is, yes, it's a spiritual fight, but you're fighting something that is taking place in the natural. And what he's talking about here when he's talking about pulling down strongholds, where are those strongholds in the natural world now? Up here. There are certain strongholds, certain ways of thinking, but without us knowing it, are producing certain consequences. Every action has got an opposite and equal reaction. So there are actions that we are taking in this physical world that cause an opposite and equal reaction. And there are strongholds in our mind that some of us don't even know about. There are strongholds that affect this condition of the heart because it affects the 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 minus 10, all of a sudden, but you don't know it. So yeah, you go, you're thinking this morning, oh, life's great, dush, dush, headline on the newspaper, 29 farm murders, 30 days. Now, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Tough when your natural circumstances don't agree. Tough when your finances don't balance. Tough when your fiancé breaks up with you. Tough when you get diagnosed with cancer. Surely, outside of my frame of reference. Tough when the odds are stacked against you. Tough when you don't feel like it. Now your 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 is still giving you 10. But 10 of what? And now things start changing for you. And you start, yeah, but I need to do stuff to earn God's love because I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling right. I'm not feeling good. I'm not in the zone with God. Well, let's go stop and let's try and look at all the thoughts of the day. Oh, hold on a second. Let's go look at the thoughts of 2 days or 5 days or a week. Let's add that all together and let's look at what is produced. Now, we are understanding what God is saying when He says, bring every, just think of the magnitude of that. Think how many thoughts you are thinking consciously and subconsciously all the time. Sometimes I find myself thinking about something and I think, how did I get here? How did I think about that? I don't know. I don't even know. God is saying, bring every thought into captivity. He's saying God. God means protect. Be intentional. Watch out. Look what goes in. Look what goes out. Be intentional about guarding your heart. Guard your thoughts. As a man thinketh, so is he. Guard what comes in. Protect what comes in. Every thought. Now that takes a different type of fitness. You're not going to just start out. It's like running. You're not going to start out running from nowhere and then think you're going to run a marathon. Same here. If there are strongholds and there's bad patterns of thinking, start small. Start at least being intentional about 10% of your thoughts. Being aware. What are my thoughts? What are you thinking? No, nothing. I'm just putting brain at this stage. You know, just chill. Okay. It then makes sense for me why God says in Joshua 1, He goes through empowering Joshua and He says to him, I've given you all of this, I need you to possess it because it's never about him, for the people, I've got an inheritance for them. And then He goes and says the following, He says, this book of the law, He says, don't turn from it to the left or to the right. And then He goes and says, meditate on it, day and night. That means every waking moment, meditate on the book of the law. And then He makes us a promise. It's like a tool. Today is not a self-help. It's not all in the physical. We're going to do this and control our minds and neuro-linguistic programming. We're not into that. But He gives us a tool. He says, if you meditate on this day and night, you will make your way prosperous. And you will have good success. Go read it. That's what it says. You will make it. No, but I'm waiting for God. Sure, we need to wait for God. But He says, you go. And not you. You. You go and you make your way prosperous. How? Change the sum of the cumulative thoughts. Meditate on this word day and night. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, what you can see, smell, touch, to this devil system, world system. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But that's a tall order. Because, hold on, now I need to do something. Now I need to stand watch. I need to be alert. I can't just go miff on the couch and watch what I want. And it starts small, eh? Starts small. I'm at a great place with God and the emotions are there, so it's easy. And I want to serve Him and I'm so angry for Him and I'm passionate and I want to read my Bible and I want to pray and I want to tell people about God. And then I think, yeah, I've had such a great week. And I've, you know, it's been so amazing. And I felt God's presence. And it's been so awesome. And I'm going to take a rest. And then sit on the couch. And there's a little moment that I choose. What am I going to watch? Am I going to watch a series that I shouldn't watch? Or am I going to watch something else? In that moment, those strongholds, those beliefs that I don't even know are there, govern my actions. I don't think. Without thinking, I'm actually thinking. There's just something, this is fine. I'm a mature Christian. I can handle the nudity in this. It's fine. I see the bigger picture. I'm more about the story. It's fine, man. And Game of Thrones was a vice for me like that. I really enjoyed it. I thought, no, man, I'm over this. I'm happily married. Thank God I've never struggled with pornography. And I'm fine. And 3 weeks later, I'm like, find myself looking at a woman 5 seconds longer than I should. I think, geez, where did that come from? My thoughts brought about certain behavior that brought about certain consequences. I opened the door for lust to enter slowly. Because there was a stronghold where I thought, it's okay. It's okay. A scripture that I didn't have time to put on that I went through this morning, it said it so nicely. It says in Philippians 4:6, it starts and it says, and we all know the well-known scripture, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses our natural understanding, all understanding, that will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. God. Now is the heart again. Guard your heart and your mind. So it's saying there is a difference between your mind and your heart. Okay? Cool. But for simplicity's sake, let's just say that is the sort of core. There are a lot of organs. The brain's an important organ. The heart is an important organ. There are some vital organs that you can't go without. We're not just talking about a pinky. Yeah? Cut it off and you go on. The heart. Okay, so the same thing here. It says that. It says, be anxious for nothing, everything in prayer and supplication. You make your request known to God, and the peace of God, which is past all understanding, that will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. And then it moves on to verse 8, and it says, but finally, brethren, it says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, do these things. He says, when you do these things that you have heard, seen, and learned, then the God of peace will be with you. So simple. When you put in good things, great things, positive things, things of good report, virtue, praiseworthy, it's a guarantee. Guaranteed. I'll sign the paper for you. I'll sign the contract. It's guaranteed. God will be with you. We know He's always with us and He'll never leave us and forsake us. But the God of peace. So that says to me that you will have an experience, a physical peace that you can't explain with you permanently. So when we've lost our peace, well, let's just pause quickly. Although life's running around at a million kilometers and kids and work and marriage and ministry and whatever else and business and work and relationships, just pause and say, okay, well, chill, stop the bus. Something is not adding up here. Something's not adding up. Well, surely something's not adding up. What input are you getting? And what are you doing with that input? Because that input is producing a certain result. So when it's saying in Philippians, when it is saying that the God of peace will be with you, it says, when you look at what you've learned, at what you see and what you hear, those are keys, guys. You can't go around looking at what you want to. You can't. You can't go around listening to what you... Well, you can. Please, there's no law. You can. But then when you've lost intimacy with God and you're no longer hungry for Him and you just sort of feel, you know, life's getting the better of you, which is normal, because I've been at a great place with God and felt very overwhelmed by life. But in those moments, I still had God. It wasn't when those moments in life that we've also had when life was overwhelming and we didn't have God. But those are the moments to start asking yourself, what are my thoughts? What strongholds are there in my life, in my mind, that I'm allowing and nurturing without thinking about? Because they're stopping me from getting to this great life that God wants us to get to. If you look at Matthew 5:8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see the Lord. So let's again substitute heart with thinking. Blessed are the pure in thinking, for they will see the Lord. And that's the ultimate blessing. There's nothing that compares to being in God's presence, having a relationship with Him, being intimate with Him. Nothing. And if you are telling me that there is, or someone is, it's sad because then they haven't been intimate with God. There's nothing in this world that can compare to that intimacy with God. So what are we saying? We are saying, for me to have a heart after God, what must I look after? I must look after my mind. I must protect it. I must cultivate it. It's like a garden that I need to cultivate and nurture, protect. Make sure I'm putting in the right things. Make sure that nothing bad is coming in, that good things are coming in. I need to look after my mind. In the natural. It's a physical thing that you need to do. Although we war, yeah, it's not, yeah, physical. But this is where the war is. The war's in the physical. In the world. But we don't play by those rules. We play by a higher set of rules. And that's where the word comes in. And that's why God can say, if you meditate on my word day and night, don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on my word. Whatever's good, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtue, praiseworthy. Where are all those things found? I don't have my Bible here this morning, but humor me. It's found in the word. And the word is God. The word was with God. But we sometimes make it about what it's not. Just put this in and this in and we should be fine. And the moment we veer off that, now it becomes difficult and now we make it complex. And it's about the 55 healing seminars I need to go to and conferences. And those things are great in their own time. And it's about being around the anointed. And we make it about this airy, fairy, pie in the sky thing. And where's God glorified in that? God is glorified when you live an overcoming life. One that overcomes in this natural world where it is tough. But that's what we've been called to do. Surely. That's where God gets glory. When the circumstances are tough, the strongholds are there. Naturally, that's just, we were brought up in a certain house, in a certain environment, in a certain school. So naturally, these things just get planted on you. What is our responsibility? How do we get out of this? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the perfect and acceptable will of God. That's where we want to get to. We want to get to a place where, just by living, and it's also not this, in my opinion, it's not this abstract thing. Now I'm putting on my thinking, guarding hat. It needs to be part of who you are. It needs to just flow out of you. You need to be so conscious of what you are thinking because that will determine what you say, what you believe, who you visit, who you spend time with, how much you read your Bible, how much you pray, etc., 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 etc. And isn't that a nice title to the chapter? It says, Living Sacrifices to God. Because it's difficult. It's difficult to lay down those things. It's a sacrifice. But that's what he says. You want to be changed? Sacrifice the flesh, the wants, the desires. And the funny thing is, God places a desire in your heart for certain things. So that's okay. Don't have to feel guilty about it. God will convict you. This morning is not about feeling guilty about things that you are bringing. It's about opening your heart to say, okay, God, where can I let you into today that I've been keeping you out of? But it says, living sacrifices to God because it's sacrificial. It's difficult to change those things. I don't know about you guys, but I struggled with being overweight for a long time, 10 years. And ultimately, I just believe God changed my perception on certain things. And glory to Him, because, but for 10 years, I would try every diet there was. And it was tough for me. And there's still a lot of other strongholds that I need to deal with. So each one's got their own journey. So don't get to a place where you judge, because you don't understand someone else's journey. You don't understand where they are with God. They might be on a level 50 with God and you're on a level 1 and you want to come and judge because you don't know. So let's not open that door. However, it's tough. It took me 9 years, and I think, you know, I think I'm very prone to open and be open to God. And 9 years. It took me 12 years to get to a place where I realized God is king, not me. 12 years. And I just fell to my knees so humbled, and I said, my king, my savior, how stupid was I? Why did you even waste time with me? For 12 years from getting saved, thinking, ah, it's about me. Skewed thinking. And he just stayed with me. He was there. Never left me. Never forsook me. I was foolish and arrogant. And those are things that daily I need to lay down. But it was difficult. It wasn't easy. And he says, don't be conformed. Do not be conformed to this world. We are not from here, guys. And we're not going to stay here. We're moving beyond. This is like training ground for us. But some of us make this out to be the ultimate. So now it's important. Those things that shouldn't be important. It's important to have wealth. And there's nothing wrong with having great wealth. Provided that your priorities are in line, you understand that you're yet to serve a purpose. Now it's important to look physically good. But you're missing the point. What does it help you look good, but your heart is far from God? Now it's important to have a great social life. Well, why? Because we've got certain strongholds and beliefs in our minds that are not from God and are not in line with the Word of God. And God's there. He's never going to force Himself on you. But sometimes He knocks. Knocks. We just keep going. Nee, nee, nee. Doen hierdie vir die Here. Ons gaan groot vir die Here. Okay. Okay, son, daughter. I'm not going to change. I still love you. We've looked at what is potentially this heart. We've looked at some practical tools on how do I cultivate this heart, work at it. Something practical, tangible, that I can go and do. You can guard your thoughts. You can watch what you listen to. You can watch what you look at. You can spend time in the Word. Because the Word ultimately will transform the software up top. And it was, again, just a personal, I would get challenged and I'd sit at, okay, now I want to think positive thoughts because I'm overwhelmed. Life stuff. Okay, let's think of a good scripture. Crick, crick. Crick, crick. And I don't know one. And then for a week, I'm memorizing scriptures. Months. Guessing a year later, what is that scripture again? Something about, I think it's, and it wasn't works. And we're going to get to that. Wasn't this just this disciplined physical labor? I'm going to learn the Bible and be religious and quote the scriptures, and everywhere I can, I'm going to show people how much I know. It's not about that. It's not about that. It is about understanding that meditating on the Lord day and night, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Now, that's a discussion for all another day, because what is success? For some people, success is what you can see, and for other people, success is being close to God, standing up for what's right, fighting for the weak. So, that left there. Why should we do this? Let's go back again to 4:23, Proverbs. It says, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the issues of life. again, the Message translation says, with all diligence guard your heart. Why? It is the wellspring of your life. So at least if you're not going to meet this amazing Savior and you're not going to know Him and have a relationship with Him and experience that, at least just do it for your own sake then, because your life will be better. And how amazing is that? God gives us the tools to live a great life, whether we follow Him or not. So why do it? Well, ultimately, if you've tasted some of God and you've met Him and you've seen Him, ultimately because you want more of that. Thank goodness that I had a brother who was, well, two half-brothers from my dad's first marriage. And both of them got involved seriously in drugs. And one of them, they both went to prison for it. And the youngest one and me were pretty close. But there was a 10-year gap. So I would see for me which were things that were outside of my frame of reference. I would see when he was a minor, he couldn't get sentenced. So they would, in those days, they would still give corporal punishment. So they'd whip him with a whip in court. He could choose. Either he could go to Boys Town that time or he could get whipped. So he said, give me the whipping. But I mean, it would literally carve open his back. And I'm thankful that I saw that because I've got a very addictive personality. So after school, I never experimented with drugs because I was scared. And I saw what it did to my brother, thank goodness. But I've completely lost why I wanted to say that, but coming back to why do you want to live a good life? Well, you want to live a good life, but you want to get close to God and you want that relationship with God, and ultimately you want intimacy with God, because what is there better in life than intimacy with God? It's nothing. And that's why you guys are here, and that's why there's some fire in all of our eyes, because we've tasted that. I think a big question is, what do we do with that? Which isn't ya? How do we have a heart after God? We need to understand what is a heart. Then we need to know what practical things can we do while we wait for Him to do the supernatural things. And why? Why do we do it? Ultimately, I believe we should do it because we've got relationship with Him, because we've seen the Father. And that brings me to some food for thought. It's very difficult. Johan, can I give Leon for an illustration, please? Let's presume, and please don't throw stones at me for blasphemy. Let's presume this is God. Okay, but he's a stranger. I don't know him. I know of him. That's Johan. He's got that color hair. He's that size. I know of him from a distance, eh? I know of him. The question I've got for all of us today is, how can you pursue someone that you don't know? How can you have a heart after someone you don't know? I'm not talking knowing of him. I know of him. Well, what I can see. But I don't know him. And if I do know him, I can always get to know him a bit better. Another experience. Have fun with him. Cry with him. Laugh with him. Share with him. Be honest with him. And see his heart. Because the moment I'm here, and this is what I used to do a lot, that's nice. Because now he's not touching the buttons that I don't want him to touch. Don't touch the lust button. Don't touch the steward of finance button. Don't touch the discipline button. Don't do that. So there, it's fine. No, I know about God. We can chat. You know, me and my buddies. No, that's God. But why was there never a hunger and a desire for him? Because I never got to know the man. And I understand why they say, he's not a man, but you understand in context what I'm saying. I understand why they say, the longer you marry, the more you love your wife. And I thought, that can't be. I mean, this emotions that I'm feeling now, and I think I can never top that. Sad but true, the emotions do take a dip. But over time, it's a slow, gradual climb. And it can become more than what it was initially. lot of effort and hard work can be more than it was in the beginning. But the reason that most people don't have a heart after God is they don't know Him. There's a saying that says people don't know how much, people don't care how much, thanks Juan. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. The reason you don't have a heart after God, He's never plucked you out of the fire. You've been in the fire. He's never healed your broken heart. He's never helped you out of a sticky situation. He's never come through for you, so I don't know the man. He didn't save me from much. I was a good person. So, and that I'm so thankful for, because even after getting saved and God saving me from a horrible, horrible time in my life, I've got that as a frame of reference to say, but that's what I can go back to. He saved me, and I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve Him to come and pluck me out of that and give me life and give me purpose and to give me this amazing life. But that's the Father. That's our Savior. It's our King. It's our Healer. It's our Provider. It's our Idol. It's our Hero. And in that, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, one of the scriptures, it talks about, be careful, I think it's in Proverbs 23. Just, don't you want to go back to Proverbs 23, please? Yeah. Nice. It says, when you sit down to eat with a ruler, this is now somebody that's you esteem, that's high, that's got authority. Consider carefully what is before you. Consider carefully. And put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, seize. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches, excuse me, will make themselves wings. They will fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Do not eat the bread of misers, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So he's actually saying two things there. He's saying, as that person thinks, so is he. You don't know what he's thinking. Be careful. Because the moment you allow somebody preference in your life, maybe the wrong person, close to you, maybe sometimes a non-spirit-filled mother, sister, brother, aunt, I don't know. And it's just, they're good people. Nothing wrong with the person. But they don't have the right programming. They don't believe the same things in you. And just that little door. No, but I love this person. You do love them. And there's nothing wrong with them. They just haven't come to the knowledge of the Savior. It says, be careful who you allow influence in your life, because we are influenced by people. So many times in the past, someone will come to me and he will start talking about someone else. And in that moment, I know I must shush them. And I think, no, man, I'm a mature Christian. I can handle this. It's okay. And I let them go on and I sort of nurse them. Now, okay, you know, let's not open that door. Okay, I hear you. Okay, sure, no problem. And lo and behold, a week later, I see this person that this person spoke about, and there's just something that I'm angry towards them. I don't like them. I just, there's something, something's off. And I think, yeah, you fool. It's because you allowed the wrong person. And we're influenced by others. It's what you hear and what you see. So what I want to leave with us today, and we're all on a different journey, and we've all got different functions in the kingdom, and we're obviously all here because we've met the Savior. And the funny thing is, it's so weird, but I oftentimes take so much for granted. He has this amazing Savior who left His throne for people that just do their own thing and want to rule their own lives and have their own plans and are so wise in their own eyes and so clever. And I don't understand it, but thank God He does. I oftentimes just wonder besides for the physical things that maybe we don't do, do we take time just to get to the Savior? To the one who can heal that intimate part in you that no one even knows about. To someone who can affirm you in a way that you never knew possible. To that person who can awaken the dream in you that only He has placed in you. That one who will never disappoint you. Never fail you. Never hurt you. Is the very definition of love. But we get so busy with our lives. And there is a Savior that died for us and has given us an opportunity to be in communion with Him and to serve Him and to love Him and to submit our very lives to Him, to give us a purpose, something to wake up for every day. Not easy. We get so distracted with life. Get so offended with people. And Christ died on a cross that I can't even imagine what pain He went through for people. And we have the audacity to make it about ourselves and what we want and how God's not pursuing us and countries falling apart. And here's the Savior who said, I've given you my Son. Now you can have direct access with me. And where do we run? Don't run to Him. We run to the couch. Oh, I need some chill time. Which is necessary. You do need to chill sometimes. But in my own life, I've just seen, I've got access to my hero. But He wasn't my hero because I knew of Him. I never came to Him and said, here I am. Tell me. It's painful. It's horrible. I don't understand this. Why am I going through this? Why? It's so unfair. He says it is unfair. I agree with you it's unfair. But I am more than your emotions, your hurt, your pain, your offense. So coming to the end of the year, really want to encourage you guys to not take your foot off the pedal when it comes to your relationship with God. Take your foot off the pedal from studying and working and flatten your foot in hunger for Him. Think about Him. Think about His Word. Think about how good He's been for you. Cultivate a heart that draws to Him. Forcefully move your eyes to His things. And you will be amazed at how the Savior of the universe will take time to come and address your specific role that He needs you to play in His kingdom. And that means He needs to come and fix things in your life so that you can go and play your part. Good. Ben, you can make your way up. I really just believe God wants to reveal certain strongholds, difficult times in life, in my opinion. And I don't think we've had the worst. We've had our small share. But difficult times in life don't build character, not for me. I believe it reveals them. It's like a curtain. Shows the cracks. And I think if we would let God this morning, He wants to show us where He wants to heal, bring clarity. Wants to reveal where He wants to put His finger in. He can with a touch. Can change something you try and fix for years. Work at it, work at it, work at it, work at it, work at it. And He says, maybe it's not for you this morning. Maybe it's for a family member. This holiday that you're going to see, it's hurting, it's struggling, it's in pain. And maybe you can be Jesus to them. brother, a sister, a mother, a stranger. Maybe you can introduce them. Say, I don't have the answers, but he does. I've got so many faults, but he's perfect. And he is perfect. And he won't let you down. And he's real. And he's here. And I don't know why, but he loves us so much. Jesus, we just come and realign our focuses this morning. As painful as it might be, we just come and tear open our chests and our minds and say, yeah, we are, King. We're broken, lost, confused, proud, wise in our own eyes, but yeah, we are. We are dead on our own, but alive in your hands, and we give ourselves living sacrifices. We don't fully understand the cost and the price, but we want to start the process on a new level. Some of us serving God for many years, some of us new Christians, some of us maybe not even in relationship with Him, but we just want to start the process because we're never going to get it right, but there's definitely space for improvement and becoming more like you. I really just believe God wants to just minister to you and just love you and just deal with those deep, deep things. So as the band leads us, just run to the Father and just trust Him. He won't hurt you.